While staying at Sanford White's high-tech castle with its personal robot valets, Jack and his crew have been having strangely disturbing dreams at night. Part 3 of The White Castle.
Only a certified nutcase would find some out-of-the-way island to build a white elephant like this.
Claudine, I don't understand what you and Jack were expecting to find here.
There are places on the planet where the energy is considered sacred.
Ah, come on. There's nothing you can call sacred around here.
Well, I was led to believe that that's what we would find.
Why is this important to you?
It's what we do.
Are you writing a book?
Well, in a sense, yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, we are mapping out places in the world that are special.
For what purpose?
Well, to save them, if we can.
We? Who's this we?
Those who care.
And what did you conclude about this place?
Well, it's very confusing.
It certainly is that.
There are too many electronics to take any accurate readings.
You got instruments to read the stuff you're talking about?
Yes.
Jack knows about this?
Well, of course.
So that's what you two have been up to.
Who are the people that want to know this?
We just want to protect what we still have.
What are you, spiritual environmentalists?
Is Sanford White one of them?
Well, that's why I came here.
Man, this is the kookiest case of castle fixation I've ever heard of.
Can this knowledge be misused?
Well, everything has its dark side.
That's for sure. Look at religion. Oy vey.
Hi, Zeebo.
Dominique.
Don't worry. No questions.
Okay.
These robots take a lot of looking after.
Not really. They're very stable.
It seems as though you're constantly working on them.
I'm just retrieving their data.
Their data? Oh. I'm going for a swim. Do you... I guess you're busy. See you later.
So, here's where everyone's been hiding.
Welcome to the Amazon.
Yeah. Well, am I the only one who didn't encounter a demon last night?
Jack, I wouldn't act so smug if I were you.
He's unbearable when he's smug.
Well, when you've met as many demons as I have, you've learned to be fleet of foot.
You can't run away from yourself.
Oh, but isn't that what life is all about?
Oh, you are impossible.
Okay. Well, let's just say, I know how to feed my demons.
What does that mean?
Feed your demons.
That's crazy.
That's the exact opposite of what you want to do.
You can't indulge your demons. They'll take over your life.
They'll bite the hand that feeds them.
Yeah, they often do.
The demons you feed are the demons that survive and thrive.
What do you mean, feed your demons?
I thought you were supposed to starve them.
No, they just get hungrier and hungrier.
What if you have an addiction demon? You're supposed to feed your addiction?
There's a way to do it.
Mojo, then tell us, how do you feed a demon?
Okay, first off, you have to pay attention to your demon.
How can you not when they're biting you?
Okay, now settle down. Who got bit?
Yeah, let's see a show of hands.
Hands with teeth marks on them?
Dominique, put your paw down.
It wanted to bite me.
Please, let Mojo speak.
When I say pay attention, I mean don't try to ignore them. They're not going to just go away.
No, you gotta fight them.
And don't just keep fighting them.
Mojo's right.
You push them out the door, they come in under the door. You stuff something under the door, they come in through the window.
Demons will be demons.
So what can we do?
I was waiting for that. Here's what you do. You put two chairs down, facing each other, real close. You sit in one, and you tell your demon, whether you can see him or not, to sit in the other one. Then you ask him, what do you want from me? What do you need from me?
Wait, let me write this down.
What do you want? What do you need?
And then you ask your demon, how will you feel if you get what you need?
They are needy things, aren't they?
You can bet on that.
But will the demon actually tell you what it wants?
And how can you trust a demon?
Okay, here's the next part. You change places. You sit in his chair, and you become the demon.
Whoa, no way I'm gonna do that.
You're kidding.
No, just listen.
You're saying you become the demon and the demon becomes you?
Isn't that dangerous?
No, I'm not saying the demon becomes you. I'm saying put yourself in its shoes.
Yeah, what Mojo is saying is that if you have an addiction demon, like alcohol, and you ask your demon what it wants, it'll tell you, I want a drink. But that's not what it really wants.
Then what does it want?
This is how you find out. When you put yourself in the demon's shoes, then you can answer your question.
It sounds simple. It sounds crazy.
My demon's way too smart to fall for that.
I don't want to become a demon.
Dominique, you're not going to become a demon.
Is there more to this, Mojo?
There's two more steps. Once they're fed, once you give them what they need, they become an ally.
You mean they become your friend?
A happy demon is a good ally.
Really, Mojo?
You ask it, how will you serve me? What pledge will you make to me? How will you protect me? And then you change places again, and you become the demon, and you answer your question.
So even though they're fed, you still can't trust them to give you a straight answer.
Well, don't take this too literally. They usually aren't actually sitting there in front of you.
Well, mine is. Things do seem to manifest themselves in this castle.
They certainly do.
So is that all there is to it, Mojo?
No. The final question you want to ask it, once you've made friends with it, is how do I get a hold of you?
And then you get their cell phone number.
I thought you were trying to get rid of it.
No. Make it your ally, remember?
Yeah, so I gotta live with my demons for the rest of my life.
Well, Mojo is saying make friends with it.
I'm gonna tell you something. A couple of years ago, I was in a museum in Naples. There were some frescoes they had removed from Pompeii. They were big wall paintings. Little fat angels or cherubs, and what looked like little satyrs or devils with hooves and horns. And they were wrestling each other. And you could see by the expressions on their faces, the angels and the devils were having a good time.
Did it represent our spiritual and our animal nature constantly battling with each other?
They weren't battling. They were wrestling. For them, it was a sport.
Well, who won?
In one fresco, by the way he was grinning, the little devil was winning. And in another one, the angel had a big smile because he had the little devil in the headlock.
Well, you win one, you lose one.
That's the way it goes.
You mean back then it was a sport?
No, I'm afraid the church has taken the sport out of it.
Yeah, now it's always good versus evil.
Sounds like they knew how to play back in the days of Pompeii.
When was Pompeii? It was buried by Mount Vesuvius in 79 A.D.
Yeah, but it goes back to about 6th century B.C.
Well, I agree with Mojo. I think a sense of humor is what's called for here.
I don't see anything funny about demons.
Well, Dominique, sometimes a demon likes a good laugh, too.
Yes, and at whose expense?
So, Mojo, you're saying all I have to do is find out what my demon really wants, feed it, make friends with it, and then it'll protect me?
That's all you have to do.
I'm supposed to believe that?
Don't believe it. Just do it.
This sounds really crazy.
I agree.
Mojo, remember back in Bali those sculptures of guardian gods protecting their homes? Well, those guardians look as fierce as any demon. In fact, they look just like demons.
That's because if you want to scare off a bad spirit, you need something equally scary.
So I'm supposed to make friends with my demons?
You created them, Dominique. They're just part of your big, happy family. Mm-hmm. Well, everyone, have fun.
Oh, I hate it when he gets so smug.
He may be setting himself up. It ain't over yet.